This is Girl with a Podcast. My life basically revolves around watching Bravo and drinking alcohol. I'm the modern day Bridget Jones if she was Jewish and not annoying. No, seriously, if sitting on your couch was an Olympic sport, I would win gold. What up, bitches? Welcome to another episode of Girl with a Podcast. Girl with No Jobs, newest podcast, and your new favorite podcast. Wow, I just made that up. That was cute. I'm so excited to be back. Sorry I took a break last week. I was so busy, like, traveling, being an influencer, like, speaking on really important panels that I didn't have time to watch my shows, which means I had nothing to talk about in the podcast. So this week, I'm all caught up. I have so much to say. I had a crazy week, and I'm going to tell you guys all about it. You guys have been asking me a lot of stuff. The first thing on the podcast that we're going to hit right now is my night with Corinne. That's, like, what I've gotten the most questions about. I have so much to say. People want to know how I got to her, what happened with the ring, etc. I'm going to tell you all right now from beginning to end. Ready? Let's jump right in. Okay. So a lot of my followers told me that on Snapchat they saw that Corinne was in New York, which I was obviously dying over. So once I found out she was in New York, I immediately put on my Snapchat. I'm like, oh my God, have to find Corinne. She's in New York. Anybody know where she is? And immediately two girls reached out to me and they were like, actually, Corinne's coming to visit us from Miami. Like, we're her friends from home. Come to this apartment. We're having a pregame at 10:30. So I obviously spent like all day getting ready with my sisters, pregamed, because like I didn't want to be nervous in front of, you know, Queen Corinne. Got all cute. I dressed so cute. Got to the party and she was right there. She was just like, I was starstruck, honestly. I don't really remember, but she's very petite in person. Like, the show doesn't even show how small, skinny, and short she is. She's literally the cutest girl ever. She's so high energy. And it's funny because when I met Olivia Caridi after Ben's season, she was, you know, the quote-unquote villain. And when I met her, she was like the sweetest, nicest, most caring and kind girl I'd ever met. But the show, you never would have known that. Like, I know for a fact that Olivia Caridi was nothing like the way she was on the show, because I met her and she was an angel. So I was expecting something similar to happen, Corinne. I was ready for her to like be completely different than what she is on the show, to be so nice and to be like complaining basically that Bachelor producers had edited her unfairly. So when I met her, I was so happy to like find that she's literally the same exact person on TV as she is in real life. She's so authentic and she's so true to who she is. Whatever you think of her, you can't deny the fact that she is so, I'm like, funny and smart and confident. And like, I loved meeting her because I loved that she was like, yeah, no, this is just the way I am. Like, take it or leave it. And I was like, fuck yeah, I'm going to take it. I'm totally team Corn. I love you so much. We had the best time. I'm just obsessed with her. We were taking a million pictures. And like, I don't know if I mentioned to you guys that I am like engaged, and Corinne tried on my ring, and like everyone was taking pictures of us. We were taking a bunch of pictures and we were drinking. And the picture that I Instagrammed was one that, obviously, Corinne was wearing the ring in, and literally, I woke up the next morning, and I had emails from, like, Entertainment Tonight, E!, Business Insider, Us Weekly, like, literally, everyone was asking me for a comment. I'm like, what the hell are you guys talking about? And I didn't realize it in my picture, Corinne is wearing my ring. Like, we started a little drama on the interwebs, but it's no big deal, guys. Don't freak out. It's not a spoiler. I would never do that to you.
Coming up on the most dramatic episode in Bachelor history.
Let's jump from Corinne and talk more about last night's episode of The Bachelor. Started off with last week's roast ceremony. Corinne is like half asleep. She gets up, goes to the roast ceremony. Everyone's like so hot and bothered by the fact that Corinne took a nap. Literally, these girls have 20-hour days. They're drunk. Leave her alone. Now, I know my view of The Bachelor is totally skewed now that I met Corinne and she's like kind of my best friend. So I'm definitely biased and people have been yelling at me on Snapchat about it, but I don't care. If you are not team Corinne, I am not team you. And my entire Bachelor opinion has forever changed because of this woman. So you can fast forward if you don't like Corinne. I don't care. A couple broads went home. I honestly don't think any of them were memorable, except for that girl, Kristen Christina, who was the one that Liz told that they had actually had sex. That was like the most important thing she did. It was time for her to go home. And I actually was thinking when that other girl left, I'm like, who the hell is this girl? I've never seen her. And it turns out it was that girl, Brittany, who wore the Adam and Eve bathing suit on the wedding photography date, and who we were all like freaking out about how good her body was. And actually, I have to correct myself because last week I said that she was Jordan Rogers' ex-girlfriend, but it just turns out that she and Jordan Rogers' ex-girlfriend have the same exact first and last name. How fucking weird is that? So I was wrong, but like not that off because they have the same name. So I feel like someone was just trying to trick us, but She went home. I'm really not missing her. The girls are, like, so excited to go to Wisconsin. Like, are you kidding me? People get to go to Dublin in Croatia, and these bitches are going to Wisconsin, and they have to pretend to be excited about it. Like, no offense to anyone from Wisconsin. I just don't think it's, like, a cosmopolitan vacation spot. Like, that's not where I would want to go. And I feel like it's really early for families to be getting involved, but, like, I guess not. So we go home. We meet Nick's family. It's, like, so great. Danielle L. is the one who gets the first one-on-one date, and I like her. I don't know. I'm, like, she was annoying. She was like, she's cute, and I try and like her. And every time I try and like her, she does something annoying. Like last night on her date, she was like, oh my God, Nick, I'm so excited to be here. Yeah, it's going to be such a great date. This is the best first date I've ever had. This day is so much fun. Like, chill the fuck out. Nothing is that funny. So that was really the only memorable thing from her date. Like, Nick made up some story that some kids paid him $12 to jump in the pond and then ran away with his clothes when he was 9. Like, that's a made-up story. We see right through you. On this fake date they're going on, they just happen to run into Nick's ex, who's sitting in a coffee shop with her handbag. Like, nobody does that. Maybe they do that in Wisconsin. I don't know. It was just so, like, how dumb do they think we are? This girl's definitely, like, a hair and makeup artist on the show, and they, like, asked her to participate, and she's excited because she's going to get, like, a SAG award for it. I was so not buying it. It was so awkward. Like, I can't believe how dumb they really think we are. Like, I'm offended at the accusation, actually. But moving on, we now get to the group date, which, like, the girls last week at the group date got to see Backstreet Boys, and the girls at this week have to shovel shit. Like, okay, Bachelor producers, I see what you're doing. Like, 5 or 6 girls had to go to this dairy farm. Like, Nick claims he grew up on a dairy farm. Like, I'm just not buying his whole story, his whole good boy farm boy Chris Soules vibe. You are a douchebag to the fullest extent, and no dairy farm is going to make me forget that you publicly shamed Andy Dorfman on Men Tell All. But, you know, I'm moving on. I'm forgetting all about it. All these women go to a dairy farm. They, like, shovel shit, pull cow titties and other stuff. And the girls last week got to go to Backstreet Boys. Like, what is this? And why are they trying to make it seem like Nick, quote unquote, grew up near a dairy farm? My neighbors had a dairy farm. He's trying to be Chris Soules, this cute farm boy. We will never forget, Nick, who you are. You are the douchebag of America who embarrassed Andy Dorfman on Men Tell All. We do not forget. Sorry, I got a little out of hand. Corinne doesn't want to shovel shit. Like, how crazy of her. Decides to take a break, which I fully respect her for, and everyone, like, is up in arms about it, especially Taylor. I can't even with Taylor. Like, she thinks everything's about her. Like, Corinne doesn't want to shovel shit. That's not a personal attack on you, Taylor. Not everything is about you. I get that you are literally the least interesting person in the world and that you have to make everything about you, but it's not working. You're so desperate to, like, be important in the show. You have 18,000 Instagram followers. Is that showing you that nobody gives a shit? Corinne has 150,000. Get off of her. I just can't. I would feel this way even if I didn't meet Corinne. Taylor is literally the most annoying person I've ever met. She thinks everything's about her. She's so aggressive. She's so confrontational. And it's not, like, in a cute way. Like, we see right through you. Okay, sorry. I got, like, a little heated there. But that's basically the group date. I don't think anything else really crazy happened. But when they go to the cocktail party after the group date, everyone's, like, trying to get Nick's attention, you know. And Vanessa, who's, by the way, the special ed teacher at in Quebec, she gives Nick a book that her students made for her. And, like, I don't know, I thought that was, like, a narcissistic thing to do. She, like, made her students write in a book why she's the best teacher ever and gave it to a man she's trying to date. Like, I would never do that. I mean, I'm not a teacher and I would never become one because it should be illegal for me to become a teacher. But I don't know, I thought that was, like, a really weird thing to do. She definitely wrote it herself, or she definitely, like, paid someone to write it. I just thought it was weird, and everyone was like, oh my God, so yeah. Like, I did not think it was cute. And it just was wasting my time. I wanted to go back to Corinne versus Taylor when Corinne basically sat the women down. I was like, listen, bitches, you have a fucking problem with me? Just say it to my face. And Sarah, who's so annoying, she came out of nowhere and was like, I just don't think you have this maturity to be in a relationship with Nick. Okay, what does that have to do with your friendship with Corinne? That has your opinion on her emotional intelligence, quote unquote, Sarah, has nothing to do with your two's relationship. She's basically saying, I feel like you're mad at me. And she's like, yeah, I don't think you're mature enough for Nick. Has nothing to do with you. You're not a producer on the show. You don't get to make decisions about the contestants. Shut the fuck up. Everyone needs to stop coming for Corinne. It's, like, driving me nuts. Okay, sorry. This episode's getting me really heated. Like, I'm getting so involved. I'm okay. Raven, she gets the next one-on-one date, and she gets like a shitty date too. She like has to go play around in the mud with Nick's sister and like then go rollerblading. I don't know. She was like, this is the best date I've ever had. And like, honestly, it looked like the worst date ever. I would have rather been on a group date to Backstreet Boys. No, sorry. I would have rather been shoveling shit than go rollerblading with Nick and his sister. Like, ugh. I like how every time they go on a group date, sorry, every time they go on a one-on-one date, all the girls like reveal something and reveal, and Raven basically revealed that she, like her husband is a battered woman or her boyfriend. She literally admitted on TV, she admitted to a felony. She could get arrested. She beat the shit out of her boyfriend who was cheating on her because her mama gave her the keys to her car. Like, I'm just not understanding why she would publicly admit that. The police are going to come after her, aren't they? I thought she was cute, but like she's starting to annoy me now. Yeah, I'm not about that life. But then I was really more excited to watch Corinne and Taylor finally begin their, you know, their big, big moments. They're peaking. Their argument is peaking. And at the cocktail party before the rose ceremony, they sit each other down in front of a fire. Taylor is literally the most condescending bitch I've ever met. Like, just because you're a mental health counselor doesn't mean you're smarter or better than everyone. And just because you can use words like quote-unquote emotional intelligence in a sentence does not make you cute, honey. It makes you, honestly, a bitch. And all of America hates you now because you're annoying. Wow, I feel like I'm being really harsh, but I was just getting so heated. That conversation with Corinne was so upsetting. Like, she basically said, like, you're 24, you shouldn't be here. Why does everyone on the show think they're a fucking producer? Like, chill the fuck out. She's here. And has nothing to, her age has nothing to do with her maturity. And I loved how she was like, she grabbed her tits. She's like, is this immature? Yeah, like, shut the fuck up, Taylor. Guys, tweet me. Are you getting as angry about Taylor as I am? Like, I don't know if it's normal, you know? But that's my Bachelor recap. I really can't talk about it anymore because my head, I wish you could see it right now, is literally red. Like, my blood is boiling. And I'm just getting so upset, honestly, because Corinne, I feel like everyone's opinions of Corinne are now starting to turn to see that, like, they're calling her a quote-unquote villain. What the hell has she done? Except put whipped cream on her nipples, which she told me she watched with her parents and was a little awkward. But still. Still, like, what the fuck? Enough already. Enough. She's not a villain. She's cute. And she's young. All these girls are old and they take themselves so fucking seriously. She's just trying to have fun. I'm so team corn all the way. Hashtag team corn. All right. Next up, I have a brand new segment. I asked you guys on my Snapchat to send me emails with questions or advice that I want to answer, whether it's personal or you guys just want to get to know me. This is a Q&A segment. You guys had really good questions. I'm going to jump right in with the first one. It says, hey, Claudia, a few weeks ago, I was in the Atlanta airport and Brielle Bierman and her boyfriend were sitting at the gate next to me. I'm obsessed with Brielle. Like, I think she's super cool, but I was so intimidated to go up to her. What's your opinion on going up to celebrities when you see them in public? Okay, this came from Olivia. Really good question. It's so different with, like, for me as an influencer, I'm so grateful that, like, anybody knows who the fuck I am, that I love when you guys come up to me and when you guys Snapchat me, like, oh, I was there, but I didn't want to say hi. Like, that makes me angry. Come say hi to me. Like, you guys are my life. Like, I would be nothing without you. But not every celebrity's like that. I feel like Brielle, since she's a reality star, she kind of falls into a similar category as me where, like, she's, like, getting started. They're super famous, but they still, like, she's going to have a huge career. So I feel like she would be a really easy person to talk to, especially she's also young. She definitely loves that people know who she is, her mom also. But I wouldn't say the same thing for, like, I met Hillary Duff in the Bahamas when I was a child, and honestly, she was the biggest bitch I've ever met. She goes to me and my friends, if I take a picture with you, will you just stop staring at me? And we were like, sure. But yeah, it's honestly case by case. I would just go with your gut. Every celebrity is different, and you know, sometimes it's going to be awkward and you're going to ask for a picture and someone's flat out going to say no and you're going to have to move on. But thanks for the question, Olivia. Let's move on to another question from Paola. Hey, girly, I'm completely obsessed with you and your Snapchats. I have a quick question, though. What is your skincare routine? You have flawless skin. Ooh. And I need to know what products you use. Okay, Paola, thank you for the question. I actually get this all the time and I wish I had a better answer, which is like, since I was a kid, I wash my face twice a day with a bar of Dove soap. That's literally it. Sometimes I even forget. But I would say the biggest key to having good skin is A, taking your makeup off every night. I know it's hard because, like, sometimes you just forget. And when you run out of makeup wipes, it fucking sucks. But also putting on facial moisturizer really, really helps. I get dry skin in my blackheads a lot. And putting on face moisturizer before I go to bed or when I wake up is really, really helpful. But that's really it. I think putting so many chemicals on your skin is bad. Like, a million face washes, a million creams. Like, keep it really simple. Keep it clean. Don't have dirt on your face. And that's really it. I think overcomplicating it is just going to make your skin worse. Kaylee wants to know who my favorite housewife of all time is, and that's so hard because there's been so many, but it's so weird to say that I think Erica Jane is my number one favorite, even though she's literally been on for a season and a half. That's how powerful she is. She's the smartest, funniest. I love her. Everyone loves her. Fucking Dorit. We'll talk about that later. Love, love, love Erica. I'm pretty sure she's my favorite, but I just feel it feels wrong saying because I don't know. She's so new and there have been so many, but I think she's the one. Claire wants to know, how did I like Camp Pocono Trails? So for everyone here who doesn't know, me and my sisters grew up going to a fat camp, which was literally the greatest place on earth. It was called Camp Pocono Trails. I actually spent a week there this summer kind of detoxing. It's basically like Canyon Ranch for fat kids. It's amazing. I loved it. It was such a great place. I feel like I really got to know like who I was as a woman, if you know what I mean. And just being around people that were different than me, but really accepting. It was a great place. I'm not suggesting everyone should go to fat camp because if you're not fat, you don't need it. But I really, really, really loved going there. Okay, I love this question from Elizabeth. She said, hey, Claudia, this is just kind of a question for your podcast, but you mentioned before that Ben doesn't watch your Snapchats. How come he doesn't? They're so funny. I love them. Well, thanks, Elizabeth, for your questions and both for complimenting my Snapchat. So Ben, I recently found out that he doesn't watch my Snapchats because like we'll be having conversations after a long day and like I'll reference something hilarious I did in my Snapchat and he's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I was like, do you even watch my Snapchats? He's like, no. I was like, what the fuck? I'm like, I'm literally making magic on Snapchat and you don't even care? So it turns out that Ben is not really like a Snapchatter. He doesn't watch other people's Snapchats. So I can't fault him. It's not like he's purposely not watching my Snapchats. He just doesn't watch. And I feel like it's so sad because I feel like I'm always doing cute things about him and he'll never know. And they go unappreciated. So like, is it even worth doing them? I don't think so. But isn't that kind of rude? I think it's kind of fucked up. You guys should like message him and be like, you should totally watch your fiance's Snapchats. They're fucking hilarious. Question from Jody. How did you find a nice Jewish boy like Ben? Please give advice for those of us less fortunate to only attract fuckboys. Great question. I met Ben too. I met Ben really regular at a party, a pregame. It was just like with people that I knew and I didn't know who he was. And I feel like dating is so complicated these days with every app. And I feel like those apps are great, but they're kind of like a one in a million chance. I really want to encourage people to like get back out there physically, like go in real life, go to parties, go to bars, go to events. Like you can meet someone anywhere, literally. I told when my sister was single, I went to the kosher butcher before Shabbat one day, and there was like 100 single guys who were all so cute, and I was like, so go to the butcher, like that's where the guys are. So unconventional places, like think of where you would be and that's where someone would be. Go out, go to bars, go to parties. Don't stay inside. Stop swiping. It doesn't fucking work. Alrighty, I'm going to do a brief interruption because I just want you all to know that I was nominated for a Shorty Award, and I've been nominated for a lot of awards, specifically two People's Choice Awards, now two Shorty Awards, and I've lost them all, and I really just want to win one. So if everyone could just take the time right now, pull out your phone, tap the link in my Instagram bio, and vote for me for the Shorty Award. I'll give you some time. I'll wait. Do it right now. I'll just wait here. Do, 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 do. All right, everyone. I hope you all really did that instead of like pick your nose while you're listening in your car. Thank you very much. You can vote every day. I really need the help. You know, I just want to win. Like, I know we're all winners, but we're not. One person's a winner and I want to be that. All right, EPK. This is my best impersonation of Dorit Kemp. Okay. So not good. That's basically me introing you to, we're talking about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills now. Yay. Woohoo. Okay. Let's jump right in. First things I want to talk about is Erica Jane and Kate. Who the fuck is Kate? Erica Jane and Kyle Richards' really cute like honeymoon trip to Mykonos. I don't know. I thought it was really sweet. I'm loving this friendship. I thought Kyle was being so supportive at the show, but like who wouldn't be supportive? Erica Jane literally slayed the fucking stage. Expensive is literally the best song. It's expensive to be mad. Whatever, just such a good fucking song. Really nice of her to invite Kyle. I think Kyle had a great time. And I'm seeing the beginning of a really beautiful friendship. I really like these two ladies together. So episodes are kind of boring when everyone's getting along. Like it warms my heart for like 25 seconds that Erica Jane and Kyle Richards are best friends. But like I need the juice. I need the panty gate. I need more. But I'm actually really excited because what I gathered from this episode, even though absolutely nothing happened, was that I think that we are past Erica Jane's vagina, which I personally am really jazzed about. But back to, you know, the evil, most ugh creature ever, Dorit, who I have the same feelings about Dorit as I have about Taylor from The Bachelor. They both just, like, literally make my skin crawl and my blood boil. But I got sidetracked. Dorit, Lisa Rinna, and what's-her-face, Eileen, all agree they're going to put this behind them. They're going to rollerblade and just, like, be at peace, and it's amazing. And I'm really supposed to believe Dorit has never fucking rollerbladed before. She's 40, which means 20 years ago, rollerblading was hot. Like, everyone rollerblades. Like, I'm not buying whatever it is she's selling. Like, oh, PK, I can't roll the blade. Like, she's Southern, she's British, she's Israeli. I don't really understand. But they went rollerblading. It was so cute and sweet. Everyone was getting along. And it was just really boring. Like, who the fuck cares if everyone gets along? And they felt the need to call Erica. Like, that's how much fun they weren't having. Three ladies together are having so much fun, they just have to call Erica and Mykonos. Like, she's busy being a fucking pop star. Leave her the fuck alone. Okay. Cut to Lisa Vanderpump inviting Eden Sassoon, whatever her name is, to her house for tea when, by the way, I don't think they even know each other. Like, they haven't even been formally introduced, which just makes this whole thing seem really forced. But I actually really liked Eden Sassoon up until this episode. I thought she was actually really smart, really clear-minded, but she actually turns out to be, just like all the other women, a psychopath, which is comforting. She tells Lisa Rinna that she just got off dating, just broke up with this guy, and Lisa, like a normal person, asks, oh, what happened? Oh, he called me type A. Like, isn't type A a good thing? Why are we complaining? Also, you asked him to stop smoking, so he literally went on the nicotine gum for you, and you're upset that he's treating nicotine gum like a cigarette. Isn't that the point of nicotine gum, that you, like, lean on it until you're done smoking, and then, right, like, it gets ripped? I just don't understand. You treat nicotine gum like cigarettes until you no longer need them. Like, that's the point. So you made him go on it, then we're mad at him for using it properly. I'm confused, Eden. You're confusing me. And I no longer think, like, you're cute. I think you're a little crazy, but whatever. Really, so little happened on this episode. I'm literally talking about nothing right now, but you guys want me to talk about it, so I'm talking about it. Next, it's PK's birthday. How exciting. I can't wait. And honestly, PK, the whole family in general, PK and Dorit, they throw the worst parties. Like, Dorit's Buddhaland was low budget, honestly. It looked like a sweet 16, and honestly, I could have done a better job. And this party for PK was a glorified cocktail party. Like, yeah, Boy George was there singing Karma Chameleon, but, like, other than that, it was basically, like, some tables and some chairs. Like, I literally could have put it together myself. But, you know, Dorit comes from a long line of women who host, so shouldn't be doing a better job. It's in her blood. Literally, her ancestors threw parties. She was born to throw parties, and she fucking sucks at it. PK's party was so boring. Honestly, the best part of PK's party was Kim Richards doing an impersonation of Dorit when she walked in. She was like, hello, darling. And honestly, Kim Richards' impersonation is the best I've seen of Dorit. So thank you, Kim Richards. Eden Sassoon, stop fucking commenting on everyone's sobriety. Just because you're a sober person doesn't make you a leader of all sober people. And, you know, and I actually personally think that Kim is sober because this is the most normal she's been in a really long time. So shut the fuck up, Eden. Like, you don't, she's... Like, I get it. Like, as a housewife, you come in and, like, you need to be interesting and you need to be important. But I hate when other people come in and try and make drama off of other people. Kind of like Dorit. Like, Dorit is so uninteresting that she literally had to talk about Erica Jane's vagina to become an important character in Real Housewives. Erica, on her own, she just came in and was fierce and fabulous and fun, and everyone loved her. She didn't have to lean on anyone for a story, for a storyline. Dorit and Eden both have to do that. Eden is trying to work the Richards sisters into being like, Kyle, you enable Kim. And Dorit is trying to work Erica to be like, you don't wear underwear in front of my husband. Like, be your own person. Be cool enough. Be smutty enough. Be fart. Oh, I just said fart. I meant to say be cool enough, smart enough, and funny enough to have your own storyline that people will be interested in you. Because the whole kind of tactic of leaning on other women for storylines, I'm seeing right through it. I'm a fucking housewives professional. You cannot, literally cannot get anything past me. Whew, that was a mouthful. Back to PK's birthday party. So it was kind of lame as fuck. Like, nothing interesting happened except for Karma Chameleon, which is honestly an amazing song. But it kind of makes me hate Boy George that he's friends with Dorit. Like, what's wrong with him? I feel like he should be friends with Erica. Like, they have such better, like, their spirits are so much more uniform. I don't know. I just feel like they'd be doing a better job. But literally last night, how many times have I've been saying literally? I've literally been saying literally so many times. Sorry, it's out of my system. Last night's episode felt like an audition for Boy George to become a housewife because he's so catty, so gossipy. When he was standing with Lisa Vanderpump and Dorit talking about Lisa Rinna's quote-unquote pill-popping problem, he was such a little drama queen, gossip girl. He is going to be on next season and he's going to be the best character. Watch it. back to the pill popping thing, I just want to say, Dorit is such a fucking shit starter. Honestly, I'm all about exaggerating. I exaggerate my whole life. My whole life is one big exaggeration. But calling Lisa Rinna's bag of vitamins and like a couple sleeping pills, a pill popping, a bag of drugs, like that is you being a fucking shit starter instigator. I know plenty of people who carry around literally bags of vitamins. People are addicted to vitamins. It's really not that big of a deal. But she's a shit starter. And I heard a rumor at the beginning of the season that one of the ladies is exposed for having a pill problem. And if this is the pill problem I've been waiting for, I will literally be fucking furious. Because that's not even interesting. It's a lie. It's a fabrication made by one fucking Dorit Kemsley. But props to Lisa Vanderpump for immediately shutting it down and be like, there's a difference between a pill popping problem and someone who carries a bag of vitamins. There's a very big difference. So thank you, Lisa Vanderpump, for one time being on the right side of history, because so frequently you are on the wrong side of history. Well, I feel better after that. I don't know. It's very cathartic for me to go on the podcast and talk about my feelings about Housewives and Bachelor, because that's what's really important to me. And that's really what's important in this world, is just getting your feelings out there. We're almost done with the podcast, but I want to just jump right in. I say jump right in so many times in the podcast, and literally in my daily life, I never say it, but whatever. I wanted to let you guys know that I'm doing a really big beauty giveaway on my Snapchat, so you should add me at Girl With No Job, and I'm giving away literally a 10-pound box of Tarte cosmetics, of the Way products, Drybar products, Scrunchy, Conair, like literally anything you can think of. I have this enormous box in my hallway that's literally just waiting for you. So add me on Snapchat and you'll find out how to enter. It's going to be bomb.com. I really hope you win. And even if you don't want the beauty products, just add me on Snapchat, because honestly, I feel like I'm really good at Snapchat. And I feel like that's a weird thing to say. But I am. And you guys probably disagree, but I don't care. I don't want the podcast to be over. Like, I want to keep shooting the shit. What should we talk about? Oh, I know. I actually was thinking the other day, and I wonder if other people think this too. Like, in New York, it's really sad, especially since Mayor de Blasio came to office. There's so much homelessness. And a lot of the homeless people are women. And I always wonder, like, do homeless women have bras and, like, tampons? Because I feel like those are things that people, especially women, really need. And homeless women probably don't have access to bras. And like, if they do, have they been wearing the same bra since they became homeless? Like, I'm just so curious. And if not, I feel like that's something, like a cause I should take on, because as a woman, it requires so much more to maintain. And being homeless, you're put in a disadvantage where you don't have access to things like panty liners, tampons, bras. So do homeless people have bras? I've been thinking about that a lot lately. And if not, I feel like I really want to get involved, because that's something that's important to me personally. Like, I, you know, have bras, and I have bras that I don't use. And I feel like I want to start like a charity where you could just donate your bras of all sizes to the homeless, not even in New York, just in general. Cause I feel like, yeah, we give homeless people, everyone donates coats during the winter and everyone donates food and money, but what they really need is bras and tampons and feminine things. So that's just something I've been thinking about. And another thing I've really been thinking about is the word barbecue, because I literally just found out that barbecue doesn't even have a Q in it. So why do people abbreviate it BBQ if there's not even a Q? It's B-A-R-B-E-C-U-E. Like, that seems wrong. Shouldn't it be B-A-R-B-E-Q-U-E? Because then we're saying BBQ, that's wrong. So I feel like we should stop saying that, because we're misinforming our generation. I've actually been thinking a lot of things about words. Like, did you know that the word therapist is the rapist? So people really should stop seeing therapists, because they're very dangerous. And actually, another word I've been thinking about is the word Brexit, because did you know, I just found out, the word Brexit comes from British exit. And I get that the Brexit vote was whether Britain should exit, so naming it Brexit is fucking genius. Just like those, you know, the Cascade dishwashing commercials, they say, do you have dish issues? The fact that they don't say, do you have dishes, really bothers me. Like, what ad agency fucked that up? All right, everyone, we're out of time. Love you so much. Thanks for tuning in. As always, please message me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Girl With No Job. I want to hear your thoughts. Are there any shows we should be covering? Do you not want me to talk about certain shows? Let me know. I want to hear your notes. If you have any questions or advice for the Q&A, message me, email me, claudia@girlwithnojob.com. I want to hear what you have to say. Again, thank you for listening. This time, every episode, I realize at the end that I legitimately make up words as I go. And I realized that in this episode, I made up two words. The first is clear-minded. I'm realizing now that it's clear-headed. And the second is villainized. That might be a word, not 100% sure. Get back to me. Love you.